Welcome, everybody, to the Big Call tonight. It's Tuesday, May 12th, and you're listening to the Big Call. Thanks, everybody, for being here again tonight. And we're looking to get some good information out to you. We're looking for a good call tonight. And, of course, we always pray that in, so let's do that. Let's pray it in, then we get to go to Sue for what should be another outstanding teaching that we can all benefit from. So before we go there, let's pray the call in. Lord God, thank you so much for everything that we are, who we are in you, what we have, and what we're expecting to receive. Thank you for moving everything along in your own perfect time. Thank you for giving us a good time tonight on the call. And thank you for giving us a great week this week. Thank you for everything you're doing in our lives to bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sue, this is it. This is a great time that Bob and I and everybody in Big Call Universe enjoys hearing the teaching, and then we get to comment on it.
Well, thank you, Bruce, because, you know, this is different than I think a lot of people get to experience in their everyday settings. We go a little deeper. We're using sort of a contemplative rhythm. And so that's going to affect how people, you know, release certain beliefs, move into new ones. And this is a very powerful teaching called The People Pleaser Trap. It's dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you, but if you trust the Lord, you are safe. Proverbs 29:25. I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. No, I'm trying to please God. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be Christ's servant. Galatians 1:10. There's nothing wrong with our desire to be accepted, appreciated, and approved by other people. In fact, without the affirmation of others, we never fully bloom into our full potential. The dark side of the desire for approval, however, is the fear of disapproval. Fear of being criticized or rejected by others is the most common reason people get detoured from the path God planned for them. It's dangerous to be concerned with what others think of you. Proverbs 29:25. Mm-hmm. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Proverbs 29:25. Too much honey is bad for you, and so is trying to win. Too much praise. Proverbs 25:27. I have to have some water for some reason. Hold on.
Okay, so, yeah.
Five dangers of people-pleasing. People-pleasing will cause you to miss God's will for your life. God didn't create you to fulfill the expectations of others. Those expectations will box you in, limit your potential, and keep you from fulfilling the dream God placed in your heart. Our purpose is to please God, not people. God alone examines the motives of our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. People-pleasing prevents your faith from growing. The fear of disapproval keeps you from taking risks in faith. Without risk-taking, your faith cannot be stretched and developed. Think about that for all those people that have their family that don't believe in this. When God's approval matters the most to you, it sets you free from insecurity because God will never reject you. You try to get praise from each other, but do not try to get the praise that comes from the only God. So how can you believe? John 5:4. People pleasing leads you to other sins. If your friends are causing you to downplay your commitment to Christ, deny your beliefs, compromise your values, or give up on the dream God gave you, you need to find new friends. Friends who discourage your walk with God are not true friends. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Exodus 23:2. Think about that teaching. Think about where it lands in your body and your heart. And that's our teaching for tonight.
Thank you, Sue. I like that teaching. That's really good. And it lines up very well with some of the things that I've heard even as early as today, this morning. Because the tendency for us to want to be liked, want to be accepted, want to be appreciated by everybody. It's there. It's real. And it does feel good if people like us. I like Sue. I like Bob. They know that. I hope they like me. It makes me feel good. But like Sue said in this teaching, we're not supposed to worry about what other people think of us. I remember my mom used to say when so-and-so was going somewhere or this other person was going there, and we as the kids would want to do something like that, she'd say, we don't care what other people do. We don't care what other people do. In other words, I mean, it's like, please stop, you know? You know what I mean, Sue? We don't care what other people do. Oi, oi, forget about it. So I'm just like, yeah, that's a really good point is, and Sue, you and I've had this discussion years and years ago about being a people pleaser, you know? And, you know, you talked in this teaching about being safe. I remember something you told me once about how you would be safe in the future. And I thought about that. And it's like, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. We do like to be loved. We do want, you know, there's a side of us, a part of us that wants to be accepted. But you know what? In the grand scheme of things, what really matters is we're accepted by God. Do you realize Jesus is pleased with you now, today? God is pleased with you. Not pleased with necessarily everything you're doing, not necessarily every little thing that you did and you might have thought was wrong, but overall, he loves you and he's still pleased with you. That's big. That's big. And, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Who cares whether Sister Doodah or Brother whatever thinks you are this or thinks you're that? You know, they may be judging you. Well, what does the Bible say about judgment? Judge not lest you be judged. You know, we don't want to judge other people. Now we can discern. We can be on the edge of that, be discerning what is, you know, good or profitable or whatever. But, you know, we don't want to be in the point where we seek approval of other people. We don't need to seek their approval. You know, we've already been approved of God. We're already approved. When we showed our faith and we demonstrated our faith in that while we were still sinners, God died for us while we were yet in our sin. And that's huge. That is very big. And so it's not about, you know, what other people think about us. It's who are we in the sight of God? And who is Jesus in our life? Are we in Christ? Do we know who we are in Christ? Positionally, do we know who we are? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. Sue, thanks. That was a really good teaching. I thought I liked it. Very good. And I'm glad you got a few laughs out of it.
Thank you, Bruce.
It's always fun when you laugh. Bob, how do you see this teaching? And do you have a little story or a vignette that you can bring to us about this teaching?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Bruce. And Sue, thank you. This is, to me, this is a very, very important teaching, especially right now when we have so many psyops going on, so much gaslighting, so much evil. It's, you know, and you look at the issue of people wanting to be significant and respected and approved of. And this is a normal, natural thing that people have as they grow up. You know, you have, I saw a picture today that was a picture of a woman lying down on her back, and she was translucent. And there was a look, you could see she was pregnant, and there was a baby that you could see. And it was very surreal, but to look, and it was filled, the whole picture was filled with light and light, rays of light passing through the woman, passing through the baby. And I was looking at this saying, wow, what an absolutely incredible thing. Here we are on this planet as human beings, but not only are we humans, but the women are capable of creating additional humans. And this is all under the watchfulness, the guidance, and the blessings of God. And how could a little child like that, when it's born, be anything but significant, anything but approved of and adored and loved? And so a child is born that way. They're born with all those things cast upon them. And as they grow, they want that. They want to be touched and loved and hugged. And you know, if you look at the Reese's monkeys experiments, you know, a monkey deprived of its mother literally becomes psychotic and they can't live. And if you even just give them a pole covered in cloth to hold on to, they'll hold on to that 22 out of 24 hours a day, and they'll grow up much more normal. And so children need this closeness, and if they don't get it, they grow up, you know, not normally. And the issue of fear, you know, is fear of rejection, fear that someone will disapprove of you. And all we can do is be our best. If you're aware of your actions, aware of how you treat other people, aware enough to purposefully be kind when you're in the presence of others, and to be an excellent giver and a grateful receiver, you can live without fear. If you're in a situation where you're constantly being disapproved of, you either need to modify how you're acting and get your beliefs in order and your personality in order, or you need to be somewhere else. And so there's no need for fear if you're aware and you're a sovereign. And the issue of risk-taking is probably the most important part. And risk-taking can be self-centered, egotistical, ill-advised, or if risk-taking is thoughtful, derived from prayer, and is going to be beneficial for other people and the world, then you'll have, you know, what it said in the book of Revelation, you know. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. And so if your risk-taking is of God, that door will be opened and nobody can shut it as long as you're following God's will. If you steer off of the path, he's not talking about the door will never be shut for any reason. The door is open if you stay on that path. And he'll follow along. He'll guide the way and he'll swat aside the psyops demons, the declarers of war. And he'll clear the path and clear the way for you to follow down. And not only no one can shut the door, but no one can stop you from walking that path either.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Bob. I like that. That's pretty cool.
Very good.
I like that analogy. That's pretty cool. Sue, I know people like you. You're very likable. But we're not supposed to be swayed by what other people think. So how did you take this teaching, and what would you say about it?
Well, I'll tell the story that I was brought up by people that, with a southern accent from Mississippi. This is for you, Brenda, if you're listening. My grandmother would say things like, well, you know, they're just not social. And there's a lot. I'm really going to work off of Bob, and then I'll come back to you, Bruce. There's a lot of nuance in this because we all came into a world with parents, just like Bob was talking about, that were following, they were conforming. This is the big, big shift. This is the shift that everybody on this call has had the courage to walk through in different degrees. But the shift was go along. This is the way the world, these are the rules, go along. And when to follow your heart, to follow Christ, when it didn't make sense to you, and I had to leave my primary relationship because it wasn't grounded in my deeper values. And I was going against everything that, you know, the world says, oh, you're going to be happy if you have all this and this husband and then this and then that. And I couldn't do that because it didn't have meaning to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the walk that we're all in, whether you know it or not. Following and getting close to God is getting close to yourself and moving beyond the conditioned limitations of the world. And so, yes, you're going to want to have people that can be aligned with you. But Bruce has been very good at repeating, you learn, then we're going to be in massive unlearning, and most of us have already been there. How many people are, you know, taking boomer boost or learning about things that are healthier for them, or in my case, more integrated, more whole, more healing for them, more future-oriented for them. That's unlearning what probably, no, this is a really, really important part. What happens is when you start listening to God, there's going to be a time when you break from the continuity of yourself. Because think of it as people-pleasing, as people-pleasing to your past, to the version of you that you were 2 seconds ago. The version that had complied to your previous reality. You stop people-pleasing when you're not people-pleasing to your past, to you, to your old identity. And you're stepping into, why did Christ say, behold, I make all things new? You have to make a choice in the way you design through grace how to be more pleasing to God, to move in that rhythm that is right for you, and to continuously upgrade. This is what's going to be fascinating when people are clinging to certain narratives and versions of themselves or their family or their this, and all of a sudden everything around them is going to be flooded with a different energy, different possibilities. So what, and you'll hear me talking about in my segment, the people-pleasing is being grounded and rooted in Christ, and then letting Christ guide your heart. This is what's so different. You know, these things that I'm reading maybe were written, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. I didn't look this up. But it wasn't in light of what we're all going through. So always remember how this applies to the current situation that wasn't even on the radar of most of the things that you look at, that you read, that you're hearing. And the people-pleasing that you're dropping is to stand in the rootedness to embrace the new and walk into the unknown, held by Christ and knowing you're going to find the people that are ready to walk with you. That's pleasing God. That's the new. That's being a pioneer of what needs to come in, what needs to be birthed, what needs to be strengthened, and what needs to be loved, like that baby that Bob was talking about. That's the radiant child that each of us hold inside of our own hearts. So that's my thinking about it.
That's good. I like that, Sue. Thank you. That's a good way to summarize that concept. And I was hoping tonight somehow we would get
anybody
in and
there?
Talk a little bit. Sue, are you there? Hello? Are you hearing me, Sue?
Why aren't I hearing anybody?
I don't know, Sue. I'm talking. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah, I didn't hear anything for a while. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What'd you
That's
say?
Weird. Okay, I was just saying, I was hoping before you started talking tonight that we would have something to say about Pea Pie tonight. Your grandma.
I really was.
I was really hoping.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
I really was, because it just keeps coming back to me. Some of her expressions and some of the things that you told me, the stories.
It just weren't social. They're just not social.
Well,
Susan, God, used to work.
How about this one? Susan, you were raised to be a lady, but you sure don't act like one.
That's breaking
that
the mold. That's what it was. I know.
That's
I know.
Right.
That's breaking the mold.
You broke the mold. Oh, man, that's too good. That's too good, Sue. All right, well, I think that's
okay,
wonderful.
Now you went silent again.
Well, it's not on me, I don't think. I'm not muted, am I? Bob, can you hear me?
Yeah,
Bob,
I can hear you.
Over? All right, did I ever fall away? Did you hear me the whole time? Bob, come in.
Yeah, I could hear you the whole time.
Okay, because I'm not muted or anything like that, Sue. Okay, I don't know what's going on. Okay. All right. Well, we're good to go. Let's thank you for that teaching, by the way. I thought it was really good, and it really lined up with some things I heard even this morning by Joyce Meyer, and she covered some subject very, very close to that. And I like the fact that you're talking about friends, and if the friends don't understand your path of walking with Christ as a follower of Christ and so on, you know, then maybe you need some new friends. And that's exactly what you said tonight in the teaching. I thought it was really good, very appropriate. So let's do this. Let's swing into our prayer and praise time, and let's see if we need to pray for anybody and see what Genia has to say for us tonight.
Yes. Let's do our two. We'll do the urgent one first.
Okay.
This is from Julie Vigiant. Thank you, Mr. H. Thank you. I have no idea whether my prayer request was even seen or read, so submitting it again. I'm in urgent need of at least a one- or two-bedroom house for myself and my dogs by August 31st. I'm sure hoping QFS funds will be in by then. I'm going to let you take this. I'm in really unstable, unclean HUD property right now. Yes, Julie, we did do your prayer request, but
yeah,
I'm
going to
let Bruce do it for you guys. Yeah, I know. Have no car to go looking at houses and on blah, blah, blah. My church is praying, but
August.
Not in what I feel is a constructive, urgent manner. This has to be done by God. So I'm going to give it to you. I did it for you last week, Julie, and we're going to let Bruce take it tonight. Go ahead,
Bruce. Julie, thank you, Sue. Julie, and as I remember, you had a situation where you were going to be out of this unit sometime in August, if I remember the request from last week.
Correct.
So I'm going to suggest that you stay in faith for a new place. First of all, I'm going to believe that we have everything that you need to have the financial wherewithal to move into a brand new place. And you've got, I think you said, two dogs and whatever else moving in with you, so that are with you now. So we're just going to pray that, Lord Jesus, we just come in your name speaking things that are not for Julie as though they should be and will be. We're using our faith to proclaim a thing. We're proclaiming out loud that you are our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, and that you provide for us. You heal us. You go before us. You are our banner. We could go on and on with names, but the most important thing in Julie's case is that you're a provider, and you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So we're speaking that the situation Julie finds herself in for a living situation is about to change for the better. You're going to find her a better unit to live in, a better place that she can afford and have all the wherewithal to move in on her own with some friends. She'll get a new car, everything that she needs, Lord God. We're believing that is in her immediate future. And we thank you for your provision, for everything that you're going to do for her, as we all agree in this prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Bruce.
Welcome.
So this next is from Lola. I'm writing to humbly request your prayers for my health. I'm currently dealing with chronic pain that has been worsening day by day. My greatest wish is to be pain-free so I may have the strength to help my family and dedicate myself to humanitarian work. I want to be able to look forward to the future with joy, and I would deeply appreciate any prayers you could offer to help give me hope during this difficult time. Thank you for your kindness and for keeping me in your thoughts. So, Lola, we're going to get everyone to come together and pray for you, but I'm kind of a deeply practiced and deeply practical prayer person. So I'm going to suggest first that you call up Boomers and you get a conversation with them about what you can do to get the biochemical aspect of your pain under control. So that's the physical action that you can take. And so now I'm going to ask everybody to come together and just maybe close your eyes so you can concentrate on the healing light and power inside of you. Gather that light and power in Christ's name. And let's think of Lola and send Lola this wave of shared healing light in Christ. And imagine, Lola, that this light is reaching you because you have the attention of millions of people. And they're hearing your name, and your name actually has an address. And we can send to Lola, God knows where you are, and God knows that all we have to do is just use our heart's frequency to carry Christ's light to you and surround you in the release of the thoughts, of the feelings, of the loop of pain that is running, the identity that I have pain and identifying with the pain. And imagine stepping into the part of you that is pain-free. Just see for a moment if you can imagine the part of your awareness that is not connected to your body but is running through your body and is pain-free in Christ. And just see if you can breathe in that pain-free part of you and feel it and let your body realize you always have that transcendent light and quality, that feeling inside of you. And if you can spend even 20 seconds in that space and then come back to it, and another 20 seconds in that space and then come back to it, and then you call Boomers, and you just allow yourself to realize you and your mind is so powerful. I actually did a CD on this, that it's more powerful than morphine. How you can correct the pain in your body. You literally have that power inside of you. So imagine that Christ, the big call, all of us are surrounding you in healing light, making you, supporting you in your pain-free journey, and surrounding you with love in Jesus' name. We say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. So do you realize that if Lola lived in New Orleans, Louisiana, she'd be Nola from oh, I messed it up. She'd be Lola from Nola. She'd be Nola from New Orleans, Louisiana. N-O-L-A. That's what they call it down there. Nola. She'd be Lola from Nola. And you were thinking that. When I heard that name, Lola, I thought of the song, L-O-L-A, Lola. Remember that was the Kinks that sang that song?
Yeah.
You know, the Kinks played our high school auditorium my senior year in high school. We had the Kinks play. Crazy. But we got them.
Okay, somehow, well, anyway, let's keep going.
Let's go into the prayer. Sorry about that, Susie. Yeah, let's keep going.
No worries. Just a little
aside.
A friend of mine would say, yeah, okay. So this is from Genia. Praise be to God for something remarkable that happened Easter 2026. Across our nation and around the world, an extraordinary number of new Catholics entered the church. The Holy Spirit is at work. Lives are changing and hearts are definitely turning back to God. In America, 38% increase compared to 2025. France, 20% increase from previous year. England, 60% increase compared to 2025. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Allow your soul the freedom to sing, to dance, to praise, and love. Saint Teresa of Avila. Go, Jeannie, go. Faith is the strength by which a shattered world shall emerge into the light. Helen Keller. We're praying and thanking God for the RV blessing and med beds coming to fruition this week. For all the leaders and listeners, health and finances, for world peace. Be thankful and kind. Have a safe and great week. Hoping and praying that we get the 800 number this week. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Jeannie.
It's good, Jeannie. That's really good. And can I address a couple of those things, Sue, now? Because
yeah,
we're always
sure.
talking about the med beds, right? And I did, and sometimes it works to put this in my segment, but I think it's fine to put it out here now. We did hear that I believe it was Monday. Today's Tuesday. I think it was like, I don't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but three MedBed centers in each state were activated, as in turned on, getting them ready, turned on, ready to go in every state. Now, I'm not saying that's all there are, but they chose three in each state to activate, to turn them on, to get them ready for us. And regarding mobile MedBed centers, we have experience of having seen one, and it was a 42-foot tractor trailer. The trailer side is 42 feet, plus the tractor side, that's the front of the tractor trailer. You guys are familiar with that. Over the road truckers, right? And it had two med beds in it and a generator in it, so it would be totally self-standing, where it wouldn't need to be plugged in anywhere. You know, it had its own power plant and could be used. And there are approximately, if I have my number right, 1,620 of these mobile med bed centers available in the United States, ready to roll. Now, how are they going to do it? How are they going to roll them? Where are they going to go? I don't know that. But I know that they're ready to go, and they're ready for us. What do we have to do to get in? We have to start our exchanges. It's the cart before the horse, but that's what it is. We'd rather go into the med beds and then exchange, but in their wisdom, we're going to go exchange first, and then we'll get into the med beds. Okay, remember, what do you need? Dire need? Well, we got some of that going around, and Zimholder gets to the front of the line. And I just wanted to bring that out, Sue, because I didn't know if I'd bring it in my segment or not tonight. But then, Jeannie, I'll answer your other question about the when in my segment tonight. So thank you for prompting me. Sue, thank you for that segment, Prayer and Praise. Let's talk about you and what is happening from your point of view, and what would you be offering us in Big Call Universe tonight?
Well, it is Big Call Universe tonight because I was thinking about really the mission of the call, you know, bless ideas group. And as you know, saying that I was busy, that was a understatement.
yeah.
I just completed my second, and the series is evolving now. Well, no, it's my third. book, and it's called The New Sovereign Relationships, Six Christ-Centered Relational Practices Designed to Expand Your Capacity for Love and Create a Healthy, Connected World, a Living Guide to the Future of Love and Reading. And this is the Founder Edition. This is for the people in the people that have committed to taking all these classes. But I'd like to get everybody to get a pen out, because I'm going to come out with something that hasn't ever been spoken before, and it's really significant. And of course, Bob, I listened to what you had to say, and I'm already processing how I'm going to get this out to the world at large, because it's a very beautiful piece. And I want to frame it in this context, because it's going to be, it's something we're all going to be living in and creating from, and there's nobody out there talking about it yet. It's pretty exciting. So for years, economists and futurists have been talking about what's called the experience economy. And remember, anybody that's into conscious anything, I'm not buying things. I want to create experiences for my children, right? I can see everybody smiling and laughing when they're hearing that. And the idea is simple. People didn't want to pay for products or material things. They wanted to pay for experiences. So a restaurant was no longer, say, about food. It became about ambiance and the memory and the atmosphere and all of that. And then a man by the name of B. Joseph Pine II began speaking about what came after the experience economy. Check this out, Bob. It was the transformation economy. The transformation economy, where people aren't simply paying for experiences, they're paying for transformation. Now think about this for a second. Watch what this is going to do. Not, will this entertain me? Am I going to have a good time? Is this going to be a short thrill? Am I going to feel pleasure? Of course, it's called hedonic versus eudaimonic pleasure, which is higher level pleasure. But will this change me? Will this expand my life? Will this help me become healthier, clearer, wiser? Something that helps you do something. An experience helps you feel something. But something that is designed for transformation helps you become something. So guess what? I started thinking about this. And you can buy his book, The Transformation Economy. And I think something else is happening. And it's so profound. And please don't, if you can't, I don't care. I'm going to put it out. But I'm going to write this book. Something hasn't been fully articulated. And it's literally what you're going to have to bring in, which is why sovereign relationships got created, and I'll tell you about that. I'm going to give you a taste of it in a minute. It's the meaning economy. When artificial intelligence accelerates and information becomes infinite, humans are going to begin to ask a deeper question. What actually matters? What is worth giving our lives to? What creates connection, reverence, purpose, belonging, soul level alignment? the next economy and nobody's talking about it. So don't take it. And if you do, I'll write a bigger, badder book. But that's what I'm writing. It's about the future that belongs to people and communities and leaders that are going to restore, that are going to know how to create projects that create meaning. Mm-hmm. And so the sovereign relationships, which we're doing as a class tomorrow, I think, goes like this. Hold on, I got to pull it out here. Welcome to your next deepening. A new level of sovereign love you are now ready to carry. You've already engaged the sovereign endowments. Have you noticed what they began to do? They shaped your identity. They widened your sense of self. They allowed you to move beyond inherited patterns into something more grounded, more stable, more true. They helped you become someone who could stand in clarity, not defined by the past, not organized around reaction, but rooted in something deeper and more enduring. Now that identity meets relationship. Because love will always reveal the edges of what you can hold. For most relationships have been shaped by an earlier world, one organized around scarcity, around survival, around subtle forms of control, where connection could tighten, where conversations could become heavy, where love, instead of expanding, began to contract under pressure. You may recognize that not as failure, but as the limit of what your system was prepared to carry. This is where this work begins. These relational endowments are designed to expand that capacity, not by asking you to try harder, not by teaching you to manage love more effectively, but by allowing you to become someone who can hold more of it, more openness, more steadiness, more truth, more connection without collapse and without control. This is about moving beyond love shaped by survival into love that is consciously formed, love that is stable, love that is clear, love that is rooted in Christ and expressed through you in real time. As your identity is expanded, your relational capacity must expand with it. Otherwise, the old patterns will quietly reassert themselves, not because you're unaware, because your nervous system has not yet been given a new way to respond. These endowments give you that way. They help you move from reaction into design, from protection into presence, from efforting love into embodying it. This is not the model you inherited, not your parents' relationships, not your past way of loving. This is something new, a deepening, a widening, a new expression of sovereign love, lived, not idealized. And you are now ready for it. And then it goes in. So we took stories from my 35 years of doing this work. We took 2-minute micro practices. We took traditional quotes. And we took some quotes from the early Desert Fathers in the Nag Hammadi Library. So you got two different versions, one a little more interior Christ quotes in Scripture, and we give you these practices that go through six domains. So it's like a symphony of God, yourself, your partner, the world, your nature, six domains. And what makes it so beautiful is it's preparing founders, people that are going to be running projects, to see and reconnect to the interconnected world that they had been separated from. And so you get to practice we have a daily accountability chart that's included with this. And I've been working on this, even Bruce didn't know, I've been working on these two books for, well, the past 10 years, but I just quietly did them. And this just had to come out. So I've been quietly doing a little bit every day for the past 4 years. And so it's now being released in this class tomorrow. So here's what I want the takeaway, since we're not sharing it with the world at large quite yet, because I have to decide how it's going to be released. But so thank you, Bob, for that mention. Whether I have you read it, or I don't know. Lots to do over here. But here's the point. Everybody that's listening to my voice right now is about to step in to a new definition of living in connection to God, to themselves, to their partner, all of that, all that edge, the people you hire, nature, the world at large, all of that, you're going to be sensing in a totally new way. So here's what I want you to do. Just simply, the most important thing for you to understand is you can only have capacity when your body feels safe. So practice working on your breathing 2 minutes at a time, two or three times a day. 2 minutes at a time, two or three times a day. That is the fastest trigger, because I can't do the sovereign endowments right now because of the class, and it's just too much right now. That's the fastest trigger for increasing the safety in your body. If you breathe in to the count of four, hold it for four, and on your exhale, you let it out to a count of five. It's the exhale that is the relaxation trigger. And you just do that for about 2 minutes, first thing in the morning, middle of the day, and at the end of the day with gratitude. If you start doing that, any of the accumulated tension that is running through your nervous system is going to start to soften, because the number one thing you can be doing is increasing your capacity to hold more love without clenching in resistance to everything changing around you. That's my little pink spoon for everybody here. Look up a book on breathing. Look up a book on... But it's literally one of the biggest things that was kept away from us and has been, Bruce knows, ad nauseum. How passionate I am about these systems that haven't been connected, and I get angry about it. I get angry that these things aren't being taught, because they could radically, radically accentuate and augment what Christ's teachings were all about. And that's why I believe in what Bob is doing so much, because he's incorporating a holistic, integrated approach to health. So you've got to get committed, people. There's going to be so much new energy that's going to be wild and fun and amazing. But if you're not grounded and rooted in a deeper connection to yourself, addictions can happen, distraction can happen, non-wisdom can happen, and you've got to really be grounded. You've got to know who you are. And it's not to be afraid. I believe everybody's going to do really well. I'm not going to be one of those people, oh, everybody's going to lose their... No, I'm not going to say that.
No.
It's like, no. I just can't stand that. All I want is for people do something like breathing. Unfortunately, until next week, we have to suspend releasing the books. We're a small, small team here. But take the practice of 2 minutes of breathing and just imagine breathing in the new world, breathing in the new you, breathing in how you want your life to be, and releasing it with gratitude. If you did that, you're opening your capacity, because you've got to feel like you're opening up to the new and you're able to direct what you want to create with Christ. And that's what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of nights, Bruce and Bob. And that's my show tonight.
Sue, are you? Thank you, Sue. Did your class sell out already?
Yes.
For tomorrow night?
Yep, and Friday.
Is it tomorrow and Friday night? Okay. All
right. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Okay, well, I know it'll go well. Great.
Thank you
for that, Sue. All right. Good on you. Good on you. Yep. I just can't help thinking about that. If you call me sometime, I'll fill you in on some stuff. Very, very good. I know you're busy with that. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Bob? I know Myotrol is almost ready to be shipped. Did we find out anything more on approximate time that is coming in? And I hope we have some testimonials tonight, Bob, that you can run through.
Yeah. What we know is that the Myotrol is going to be ready to ship sometime this week.
Okay.
And so it looks to me like it'll be in our possession probably the end of next week. It has to come all the way from California.
Right, that's right.
Yep, and it's to come in, a temperature-controlled truck, so
yeah.
Those always take just a little bit longer.
Yeah, okay.
So, so we have a couple of testimonials that have come in, Bruce. And this was a man who's just wanted to talk about Boomer Boost and Barley and what it's been like for him. He just sent it in an hour ago. He says, solid products. It wakes up my body in the morning. I also take it with the probiotics and creatine in a shaker bottle. I'm ready for the day.
All right.
Then, this is a person who takes the Total Health System, which is, Boomer Boost and Barley, and also probiotics, vitamin D, omega-3s. And this person says, I really love the taste and how I feel lighter. Interesting testimonials we're getting. Here's one about Boomer Boost. It says, fast shipping, great product.
That's great.
Yeah. Then also, Bruce, just to let people know, we've had lots of requests for when are we going to put Good Night Formula on sale. And so it's on sale right now.
That's right.
All by itself. It got a special solo sale with nothing else to cloud the prominence of its splendor.
And
there you have it. It's on sale. You can actually get the world's greatest sleep formula for $25.46.
Okay.
You know, when we first got this product, we used to buy it a small amount at a time.
Yeah.
And and as time went by, we sold so much of it that the price came down because the manufacturer kept giving us better pricing. Okay. And right now, you can buy this product for half the price that it cost when we originally got it.
Wow.
That's been the evolution of this product over 7 years. What's happened with so many people benefiting from it.
That's right.
And one last thing I wanted to say tonight. Sue was talking about relationships and the economy and how people are going to be looking beyond experiences. And I actually had a call from a person the other day who wanted to ask me if I would come and be a speaker at a new center they're about ready to complete. They've got a $15 million investment. And what they're doing is they're creating a nature experience for executives to come to spend a weekend or even spend a whole week, where they're going to be at a property that's going to have a farm, it's going to have animals, instructors, teachers, and it's going to allow people who have been working in high pressure, high stakes jobs in an office to take a break and experience nature and to learn skills that people who live on farms and they're going to be able to learn those same skills. And they also want to be able to teach people relationship skills and stress management skills and proper nutrition. And so it's going to be here in Florida.
And
well, at the same time that Sue was talking about the importance of connection and relationships, there's an article that just came out in a medical journal called The Hidden Social Health Risk, Quietly Harming Your Patients. So this is an article written for doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how there's long been shown health risks of people with loneliness and how beneficial it is to have social connection. But only recently have they had clinical documentation of people who do have connection and social connections, but those connections are not always positive.
Mm-hmm.
And
or nourishing.
Yeah. And so they've been doing studies of people's health status, people's rate of aging, and particularly their rate of methylation of their DNA and their elevated hormones like cortisol and norepinephrine and hypertension, and talking about how definitively bad it is for people to be in relationships that cause a lot of stress. And they're encouraging medical doctors to identify these potential issues. And like a lot of medical articles that bring these types of things forward, they have very weak recommendations for what they are telling the doctors to do about it. Encourage people to exercise more. Encourage people to meditate. Things like this. And the fact of the matter is, I doubt this article will have any impact at all, no matter how many doctors read it, because they're just not trained and equipped to deal with this kind of thing.
Right.
They'll just kind of shrug their shoulders and, you know, and there's not a lot they can do about it. But there is a lot that can be done. There are many different ways for people to learn how to improve their relationships, how to never get into one, you know, to begin with. And if people are listening tonight, and either you or somebody you know is having such an issue, you can very easily go onto our website, and the first thing you're going to want to do is learn about nonviolent communication. A lot of issues with relationships are people who are bantering from, you know, headspace stuff to headspace, and very rarely understanding or paying attention to the other person's feelings or learning how to express their own feelings. And instead, people just go back and forth with all of the things we talked about earlier, where they desire to be honored, they desire to be appreciated, they desire to feel significant, and they're not getting that from the other person they're in a relationship with, and as a result, they resort to communication strategies that are very difficult, and they also quite often are coming at things with baggage from the past of negative things that have happened to them in prior relationships. Relationship with their parents are kind of dragged forward into a marriage and things like that. And so a start where people can take a little bit of control for themselves is learn nonviolent communication. And in addition, you can learn to do havening, which will go a long way because it will help to create more of a neutral playing field, a neutral terrain that's not riddled with neurotic baggage from the past. And we now know from scientific studies exactly what happens to people's bodies and what happens to their DNA that gets prematurely methylated from this stress. And so it gives... knowing this gives added credence to what Sue was talking about earlier, with more advanced expectations for what's possible in relationships, and mm-hmm. being sure to learn what you can in regard to relationships, and and you know, start making those improvements. And Bruce, that's all I had to say for tonight. You're very welcome. It's 13 minutes after 10.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, that's really good. I was thinking while you were talking and about that location in Florida, wherever it's going to be, you know, why is it so easy for us to love puppies and kitties and birds and bunnies and deer and all these animals, but it's so hard sometimes to love people? Certain people are unlovable, or seemingly so. Not really, but sometimes it's difficult. And it'd be good to be able to experience that and be able to show the love of Christ as you meet people and talk to people and get to know people and love. Listen, loving kitties and puppies and birds and bunnies and everything, it's all good. It's all good. But we still need to learn how to love people. That's really where it is. And I don't know why it should be so hard. It shouldn't be, but it is. But if we can work on that and get that type of nonviolent communication, like you mentioned, Bob, and create connection with people and, you know, have meaningful relationships and friendships, that's really where we should all be going. So I'm going to say that to get to Boomers, all you do is go to bigcalluniverse.com. That's my website. When you get on there, you'll see on the front page, you'll see a banner at the top that says Boomers. Click on it. It's a direct link into Bob's website. You can get in there, and you can look through all the different products. And you'll see that Myotrol is not available quite yet. Hopefully by the end of next week, it'll be in quantity. And but we do have Goodnight Formula, which is the best sleep product to promote good sleep through the night. And that is on sale at 15% off, and it'll net out at $25.46, which is wonderful. So grab some of that. Grab enough so you can get free shipping, okay, which I guess you probably would get three or four bottles. Dude, probably four would do it. And that gives you 4 months supply. So take advantage of that. I've got some coming in my last order, which I hope will arrive in the next day or so. And the 800 number to call for customer support is 800-861-4609. 800-861-4609. That's good 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Eastern Daylight Time. So, check on that, and you should be in good shape. So, thank you, Bob. Appreciate that very much. And, I love the testimonials, even the very short ones and basic ones, because it gives us an idea what people are really experiencing with Boomers products. So let's go into, and thank you, Bob, for that segment. I appreciate that very much. Let's go into where we stand in the way of Intel tonight. First of all, today we did get confirmation that the XRP digital crypto coin, XRP, did go live today. We had talked about it last week. Today was the day on the 12th. It was to go live, whatever that entails, and it is. So that's good. Now, we always tend to bring in what's going on in Iraq. And what we got from our sources in Iraq yesterday was supposed to be the day that the new prime minister and the council See, I believe it was the council or the cabinet of the Iraqi prime minister was to be fully seated and acknowledged as seated. And this is Ali al-Zubaydi, I believe it's how you pronounce it, Zubaydi. And so he is in as prime minister, and now the question is the cabinet complete? Because as of yesterday at noon, which was supposed to be the time, it had not been. President Trump wasn't very happy about that. He called the new prime minister and told them to get that done by today, Tuesday. And I do not have confirmation yet as to whether that happened or not from our contacts in Iraq. But we'll see. You know how I usually get stuff after the call, right? So that could be the case. Either way, that looks good for us to have that accomplished. And when we go back and say, okay, what else is going on? Now, we heard something today that kind of leaked and came out in a Telegram post. And it came out saying that the Supreme Court had voted on the elimination of our federal income tax. Now remember, we've talked about that as being part of NASARA for years now. And it is part of NASARA. Why would it require a Supreme Court vote? I don't know. But the vote was 7-2 to eliminate the federal income tax. Now, the timing on this evidently could have taken it back to sometime in early February that the actual vote took place. But supposedly it was going to take up to 180 days or approximately 6 months before it would get announced or possibly even implemented. Well, that would put us into mid to late July. However, we have heard from our sources that we should have that happening as an announcement that could be made on or by the 4th of July. And it looks like, in looking into it a little further, it could be announced as part of NASARA much, much sooner, as in the next week or so. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Obviously, that is a major part of NASARA to eliminate federal income tax. And remember, the article that came out or the post that was put out also talked about a consumption tax. And remember, we've talked about that being replacing the federal income tax using a consumption tax of approximately 14 or 15%. That would be on new items, but it would not be on food. It would not be on medicine, not be on housing or education. So there are several things that the consumption tax does not apply to. The theory has been that the consumption tax is collected by the state, and the state basically would split that, let's call it 15%. It could be 14. Hope it is. Doesn't matter. 14, 15. Split it where half would go to the federal government and the other half would stay with the state. But it would be collected at the state level in each state. So let's see how that comes around. But I was very happy to hear that even if the Supreme Court voted it through, which they did, that it was set up to where it should come through for us sometime in July, maybe sooner. We could get the announcement of it officially announced, because this post that was out there was accidentally released, and then it was quickly taken down. So I thought that was kind of cool. So, will we see the rest of Nisara? Yes. How soon? I think all of it should be released to us, at least announced, if not taking effect. It should all be announced by the 4th of July. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm getting. So we'll see how that comes out. All right, let's talk about where we stand right now with our bondholders. We have heard that bondholders should be getting their emails to tell them again how much they have in their accounts and when they can have access to those funds. They're supposed to get it on Wednesday and have access to it on Thursday. That's 2 days from now. Now, what about us? We received the information that said basically the same thing, that we would get our announcements on Wednesday and have access to our appointments and so on Thursday. Now, that was last night we got that information. And you know how this thing morphs and changes with later information. Well, today we're hearing from our Treasury sources that we should get notified and or exchanged Thursday or Friday of this week. So it's sort of a Thursday notification, maybe exchange Thursday, or Thursday notification and exchange on Friday. It's going to be something like Thursday, Friday for us this week. Okay? And that's from a very strong Treasury source. Now, what else that can kind of add into that or align with that? We did hear something late, like an hour before the big call, that suggested that there was a conference call with Redemption Center leaders, and you have to assume it was all of them across the country. You also have to assume that it was a Wells Fargo conference call, and you also have to assume that the Treasury was part of it. And it was a call that could have gone an hour, and it only went 20 minutes, but it was enough to say they are preparing for us to exchange either Thursday or Friday of this week. It could be Thursday or it could be Friday. It's 2 days from now or 3 days from now. Now, when would the numbers come out? I always try to find out, yes, but when are we going to be notified? Well, we could get notified Wednesday and go Thursday. We could get notified Thursday and go Friday. They might notify us Thursday and start us on Thursday. They could notify us Friday and start us on Friday. Obviously, I'm hoping, like you guys are, sooner rather than later. But it's looking very good for us for Thursday and Friday. Oh, and yes, Friday is the 15th. That's right. So it might be a notification Thursday and exchanges on Friday. I'm not sure. We don't have that, absolutely. It's either Thursday or Friday is what we're hearing. And sometimes we don't get the specifics that I would like, yes, but when are we going to get notified? When are the emails coming with the 800 number? So I would look hard for them on Thursday, and if it doesn't happen then, I'd look very hard for Friday. And as you guys know, if you've already registered on our website, bigcalluniverse.com, and you've got your email address is what you use to register for it, there's no cost. We've never charged for anybody to be on our website. That we will send out an email to you that have registered as a large blanket email that will give you the 800 number. You should get it. Most of you will get it from Wells Fargo. I can't tell you what the header is going to be on it exactly. I can't tell you what it's going to say, but it should come from Wells Fargo servers. I know that. And we should be able to read that. And, of course, we'll make sure the number that we get is the right one for the U.S., and there should be one also for Canada that would be a different number. But we'll look to get both of those and post both of those so that our Canadian listeners to the north of us, our northern neighbors, will have the correct number to call. Don't be jamming up our U.S. lines with our number. All right. And what is this about? President Trump is suggesting that Venezuela might become our 51st state. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? What happened to Alberta? I was hoping Alberta, Canada, would be our 51st state. Well, whatever. We'll see how that goes down. We'll see what happens. I know this much. Venezuela is very, very happy with Trump, our military, and the United States for freeing them from Maduro. And so that's a good thing. President Trump is on his way, if he's not already there now, to China, meet with President Xi, our Treasury Secretary, and I'm sure a small entourage is en route to rendezvous with the president in China, put some things together over there. I'm sure that'll go well. And we'll see what happens as far as our notifications this week. I'm very excited about the possibility of us going this week and getting in the med beds as soon as possible, because they should be ready for us. And maybe we go 5 to 6 days after we exchange. It's all going to be, you know, available. But it's also based on, you know, the ones they want to get in first are those of us who are ZIM holders and have dire need. And then if you have both, they enter that into their computer at the redemption center when you go in. And that's, you got a pretty good chance of getting a phone call to set your appointment, you know, pretty quickly. And that's what I'm hoping for, exactly. And I'm sure all of you guys that are in dire need are looking for the same thing. So, I'm told that we will have all new rates on the screens Thursday. So that tells us maybe that is our start. Could be Thursday or Friday, it sounds like. But we'll have all brand new rates on Redemption Center screens Thursday. And, you know, at this time, at this point, rates are sort of a secondary thing. We've got great rates. It's nothing to even be concerned about. It's nothing. We've got super. And if you're a ZIM holder, of course, you're in the best shape of all. So, I can't think if there's anything else that you guys need to know that I have that's different or new. So I'm going to say, let's do this. Let's just wrap it up tonight, and we'll pray the call out, and we will look forward to speaking again Thursday. And who knows? Maybe we have numbers. Maybe I put them out live on the Big Call Thursday. Who knows? We'll see what happens in a day or two, okay? But in the meantime, which is where we are, let's go ahead and pray the call out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for everything that we have, that every good and perfect gift has come down from above. We see this blessing as a gift from God. We see this blessing as coming to us, not for ourselves, but to come into us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that we could have to give again. So this is something that's going to flow through us so that we can give and help level the playing field around the globe, helping other people to achieve their dreams and their goals. Thank you for this blessing, Lord God. Thanks for bringing it home to us. And we look forward to it this week in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, everybody. Have a great night. And we'll talk to you Thursday. God bless you. Thank you.